Podcasting from Knoxville, along the banks of the mighty Tennessee River, this is the Startup Knox podcast featuring interviews with local entrepreneurs about their startups. I'm your host, Brandon Bruce, and today we continue a special series of interviews with Latinx founders. Today I'm talking with Christopher Morales, founder of Morales Outdoor Living, a design and build firm specializing in creating unique outdoor spaces. Chris launched the company in September of 2017. He has two employees. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, thank you, Brandon. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So as we reflect on this wild and tumultuous year of 2020, we're recording here toward the end of the year, and we think about the pandemic, how has that affected your hardscape business? Has there been increased demand for outdoor living spaces because everyone wants to spend time outdoors and they're spending more time at home? Or has it been kind of a wild card, and has it had a negative impact on business and you've had to pivot? What has 2020 been like for you?
You know, 2020 started off really great with a bang, and I had a lot of stuff planned, a lot of goals. And then, you know, the pandemic hit around March. And from like March to April, I really couldn't get any work. I had pretty much finished off what I had booked the year previous into the beginning of the year. And I just could not book anything new. Nobody wanted to spend. It was real uncertain, March, April. But then come May and to now, it just completely exploded. I mean, there is just such a high demand for outdoor living spaces. I mean, yeah, everybody's staying home now. Traveling is at an all-time low, and people are staying home. So they want to create spaces that where they can be, you know, happy and forget about what's going on, I guess you could say.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of bring the vacation home to them and create the experience at home that they would want to have if they were traveling. What sort of projects do you do? Do you have a specialty, or is it really anything that people might want to create in their outdoor space, in their backyard, you guys do?
Yeah, you know, so my background is in pools, and that's what we're trying to go towards. Because the pool is really the backbone of all my projects, really, is just pool areas, and it just starts with that. And we do pavers, you know, like fireplaces and anything really outdoors. It's really up to the customer. I'm really looking to find customers that are creative and that can come up with ideas with me. And anything that's new to me is awesome. You know, I love a challenge. But yeah, anything outdoors, really.
How often does a customer come to you with a really kind of a fully baked idea versus kind of, I have a few things that I think I might like, but let's do a creative process together? And how often is it just a blank slate? I've got a backyard. Here are the dimensions. Please throw some ideas at me.
Yeah, and you know, 9 times out of 10, it's me coming up with everything. It's very rare to come across a customer that really knows what they want. But yeah, usually it's just me, and I take inspiration from many other contractors online and stuff, and I love just seeing what's new, and I try to integrate all that into my projects.
That's awesome. Now, going back to 2017, it's been 3 years. What was the motivator for you hanging out a shingle and going into business? So you have experience in pools before, and then you decided, I want to do this myself and focus on my own company. What was the spark that drove you to start the company?
You know, yeah, I was working in a pool company for about 6 or 7 years, and I was learning so much. That gentleman, their name was Pro Pools, and they kept us busy year long doing all sorts of projects, and I was just learning all sorts of things. And I was struggling. I wasn't making as much as I wanted. And I knew that I had the capabilities of handling a big project because that's what I was doing. But seeing my kids, my second born, seeing them be born and just knowing that I needed to step it up for them, for my family, I just had to take that plunge and take the risk. And it's been the best decision I could have ever made.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about kind of the classic entrepreneurial roller coaster, right? Because you've got tremendous momentum. It sounds like, despite the hiccup in March, April, like you say, things are going bananas right now as people spend more and more time living outdoors. And what a great location we have in East Tennessee for doing exactly that. But, you know, entrepreneurs constantly talk about, you know, the highs of landing a first customer and hiring a great teammate and growing a business, and then the lows of you know, struggling to meet payroll or finding the next project once you finish the first one. What have been some of the highs and lows so far since 2017 for you and for your company?
You know, probably this year, right after the pandemic hit, I, through social media, I was actually able to connect with one of the, I would consider them probably one of the top pool builders in East Tennessee. And they really saw and loved what I was doing. And teaming up with them has been probably one of the best things for me, because they are just bringing in awesome projects, awesome clients, and I'm able to really show what I'm capable of and really get those projects that I really wanted.
That's awesome. So that's definitely high up on the list of highs. What about challenges? What have been some of the challenges that you faced so far?
You know, I was looking back at some of my old project notes and stuff, and it was just jumping in and not knowing how to actually, price the jobs. I knew how to do everything, but I didn't know what it really took as far as money. I was always, you know, an employee. So when I jumped out there, man, at first I was really charging very low and barely just cutting even, until I finally understood how to properly price a job. But that has been my biggest challenge, just because every job is so unique. My biggest challenge, even to this day.
Well, yeah, that's a really interesting point, because I think that cuts across all types of businesses, all types of industries. I know it's a big struggle in software as a service, an industry I'm familiar with. Companies really struggle to figure out what their pricing should be. Usually it's a combination of, you know, anchoring with competitive firms in the market and sort of what can the market absorb, right? What are customers potentially willing to pay, and kind of doing that customer discovery. And then really a practice of trial and error. What have been the things that have been most helpful to you? So you were pricing some jobs originally and kind of breaking even, or like you said, just kind of scraping by on those. And then, you know, through a process of evolution, something clicked and you said, oh, now I get it. Was it talking with other people that are estimators or that are in the business, or was it just realizing that you needed to create a certain markup? What was it that helped you?
Yes. I actually joined a group called the Masterminds, and it's a group created by a gentleman named Jack Kelly with a company called Imagine. And he created a group for many contractors like myself that we get together, and we just share ideas. We share any issues that we may have. And it's actually a great concept, because it's, instead of, we're not competing against each other, we're all helping uplift each other. You know, there's no competition in this group, and that's really helped. And then a lot of it has just been trial and error. You know, it's just been going out there and seeing you really got to understand projects and how your guys are, and understanding how long each thing takes, and being really organized with all of that, and just managing your time and quoting off of that. You know, if it wasn't for that, then I don't know, I'd probably still be lost.
How did you find out about this mastermind? Did you seek it out? Did someone kind of refer you to it? Did they find you?
I found this guy online, yeah, just on Instagram. That's where I really been pushing my brand, and my company has been on Instagram. So I'm constantly looking for new things that are trending as far as the hardscape industry. And this guy with Imagine, God, they do the most beautiful work ever. And I just saw that he was starting a group, and it was like-minded contractors. And I joined it, and I've been in there about 2 years, and we've met up twice already. And it's been great. Everybody, you kind of just see that we're not alone in this. Everybody, for the most part, goes through the same struggles, same obstacles, and whether you're a big company or small. And that's just been great for me.
Now, are the members all in Tennessee or East Tennessee, or are they nationwide?
Nationwide. Yep. There's a lot of people nationwide.
That's really interesting. And I think what a great thing for listeners in any industry, right, is to consider joining or perhaps even starting a mastermind where, like you say, it's not competitive. These are folks serving other geographies, potentially other types of clients. But the benefits that you get from talking with people that are in the game. I mean, I would even extend it to say, because when I was running a software company, I frequently talked directly to our competitors. Obviously, we weren't sharing customer lists or code, but we got a lot of insight into the industry, right? And some of the trends, and yes, both sides would benefit from that conversation. But I think a mastermind group is a great piece of advice for any entrepreneur, is to seek it out. And if it doesn't exist, you can start one and be at the middle of it all.
Yeah, definitely. It's different, you know, because most people think that all contractors are, competing against each other. But right now, we're just helping to uplift each other and help each other out. And it benefits everybody. It's a great thing.
Now, I want to bring it up now, since you just mentioned it, for listeners who are on Instagram, which is essentially everybody these days, Morales Outdoor Living. Check out some of the photos. Pretty amazing stuff. I'm looking at a photo right now of a pool that's got a nice waterfall going into it with some stones, with grass surrounding the stones. You've got photos showing before and after, families enjoying their spaces, some pretty amazing deck spaces and patios.
Thank you.
Yeah, check out the feed. And I'll also mention the one that you cited for inspiration, the Imagine Design and Build, is also on Instagram and has some pretty cool pictures there too. Like you suggested, they do some pretty innovative stuff with sculpture work, stacking of stones, et cetera. You know, whatever your imagination can come up with, there's photos of it there. Yeah, for sure. So thinking forward to 2021, do you anticipate sort of this big bump up in business will continue? Is it a cyclical business? Does it stay really busy during the fall, winter, early spring, or does it really kind of pick up as it gets warmer?
You know, we do have a little bit of a slowdown here in Tennessee, but I mean, it doesn't get that cold. We're actually able to still work. As long as I got the work coming in, I can still find ways to get stuff done. I'm planning on a huge 2021. This year has been great. We've been able to expand a little bit, grow a little bit. So this winter, we do have a little bit of a slowdown, but it's time to get everything ready for the next year. And that's what really the slowdown time is for, is just to get ready to get all your paperwork done, all your machines in order, and get ready to rock.
Yeah, for sure. Now, locally here, in addition to this mastermind group, which like you said is nationwide, have there been, you know, particular organizations, particular individuals that have been helpful to you in starting and growing your business, kind of as a mentor or as a support resource?
I wouldn't say to that extent, but I have been blessed to that my previous employers have been really, really great with me and supported me going out on my own, and any questions that I do have, they have been a great help. But other than that, I've just been learning on my own, just figuring it out.
Yeah, for sure. And as you think about, like you said, as you think about continuing to grow through 2021, and this is a question that a lot of entrepreneurs face with a thriving firm like you have, how do you decide when to grow headcount? When do you decide when to add more people to your team?
You know, the workload determines it. It's just you can never really tell how much workload you're going to have until they start coming in. So for example, in the wintertime, we really slow down, and even in springtime, it's still a little bit slow, and I try to keep everybody busy. But once summertime starts kicking in and all the phone calls start coming up again, I really try to get at least another person or two. But typically, my line of work, 2 to 3 guys is pretty good to keep everybody busy and efficient. Efficient is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you mentioned before, teaming with a top pool builder in East Tennessee has helped you really reach the clientele that you want to work with. So the power of partnership in terms of go to market, like you say, the phone starts ringing as the weather warms up. What are your best paths to market? Is it partnerships like that one that kind of connect you in? Because frequently people want to do a big project in their backyard. There's lots of different vendors and contractors that are involved. And so having those relationships, is that the best? Is it referral from previous jobs that you've done to other homeowners and businesses, or a combination of all the above? How do you take Morales to market?
You know, Triad Poolscapes is a company, and they have 20 years in the business. So they definitely have us scheduled pretty busy. But before I did team with them, and even to the to now present day, we are still pushing very hard on social media. Social media has been my biggest marketing that I've done for my company, because it's free. You know, it's a free platform, and you're able to use many different ones. And my portfolio is all based online. So usually when people ask me like, do you have a business card or something like that? I just refer them to my website or to my Instagram, and that just shows everything there. And I've definitely pushed for content in my line of business. There's the before and afters, and even during is very interesting, because I turn a really ugly space into beautiful spaces. So I try to use like a drone or like a GoPro and record time lapse videos, and it just has to be 1 minute videos, honestly. And I post those, and I get great feedback from those, and people are really loving to see that, because when you also post during photos, like the construction, you kind of put yourself out there, and you're showing people that your construction techniques are correct, you know, and you're doing things properly, and it's been great. All the content really in social media.
It does. I mean, I think it is appealing to people because there is sort of built-in vulnerability there, right? Like, I'm going to show you a time lapse that shows exactly the progress we made on what timeline, right? Did we come in on the right schedule? And then how did we do what we did? And you can see the quality in our work and in our craftsmanship. So was that something that you did from day one, or is that something you started to realize you wanted to do after you'd done a few jobs and you're like, okay, I need to start doing before and after photos and videos, and maybe, you know, put a drone up to get some aerial views? Or is that something you knew that you wanted to do from day one?
Yeah, definitely. From day one, I knew that social media was the key, just because it's free, and I had an extra camera laying around, and you know, you have, everybody has an iPhone. You take the minute to just take a couple pictures, a couple videos, and edit them. And it's been great since the very beginning. I knew that was always my goal, was just a very, like in-depth Instagram, where you could see what goes on in the business, not just the beauty shots at the end, but what goes on before and after and during. And that's what people love to see.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and for this question, I wanted to ask you, do you think there have been any unique advantages or disadvantages to being a Latinx founder in your industry and a Latinx founder here in Knoxville?
Well, I've done great for myself, but I kind of see where being a minority and young, sometimes showing up to these big homes where people kind of see me and they don't think that I'm capable for the job, just mainly because of my age also, but also because of a minority. They I show them what I'm capable of, and I speak to them with professionalism and show them that I do know what I'm doing. But that has been an issue for me and when I first started, but now I guess my confidence has grown a little bit, so it's not as bad. But I definitely did see that as a disadvantage at first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that all entrepreneurs, all of us, share in common, especially early on when we're starting a business, is trying to figure out how do we prove ourselves out to the market. I think you've done a great job of that through social media, something that, mm-hmm. that all of us can learn from, because the work speaks for itself, right?
Exactly.
It's not, oh, well,
exactly.
I may be young, but trust me, I can do the work. It's let's not even focus on age. Go look at my Instagram feed and you can see the last 20 or 30 projects that I've done and how they turned out. And if you like how they look, you should probably hire me because we're available and ready to do the work. So no, I think that's a great point. I did want to follow up on the Imagine Design. So you mentioned Imagine Design and that you had a chance to go visit their headquarters. Was that this year in 2020, and what was their headquarters like, and what did you do there? What did you learn there?
Oh gosh, that was actually just a couple weeks ago. We went to their headquarters out near Detroit. It's in Northville, Michigan, and we got to see just their headquarters and how their operations are. And I got to meet the other masterminds, you could say, from around the country. I was so inspired. There was just so many young guys out there just absolutely killing it out in the industry. And as far as Imagine, we saw their shop and they took us to two of their projects. And one of them was actually like a $1 million project. It was just insane. And it's just so much inspiration. And we got to really just get a more intimate conversation with everybody and see how he started and what he's done and how he's gotten here. And he really pushes for the social media as well. So he's been a big influence for me.
Now, how long has Imagine been in business?
I think they've been in business for like 16 years or something like that.
Okay. So we're talking about probably 2033. Then people will be on a show like this talking about drawing inspiration from your big seven-figure projects at Morales Outdoor Living, right? That's our goal now.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal, hopefully.
I love it. That's exciting. Chris, for other entrepreneurs that are listening to this show, and some have established businesses, been around for 5, 10, 20 years. Others are idea stage, right? Just getting started, thinking about taking it out to market. Based on the 3 years that you've been in business and the lead up to the time that you had that spark to start the company in 2017, what advice would you give them? What are important things for early stage startup founders to be thinking about and doing?
Oh, gosh. You definitely have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because things will not always go your way. Take things at a slow pace and don't try to rush, because things will get messy. Just take your time, but go for it. You know, once you get your feet wet, you just got to jump in. But I understand that it can be scary, and it always is, but just go for it. You got to follow your dreams, because anything is possible. You got to stay committed, and you got to stay focused, and just commitment 100%.
No, I think it's a great tandem piece of advice. On the one hand, right, you do have to have some patience, not something that entrepreneurs are necessarily famous for. yeah. But also, and I think this is a classic from a person who is in the pool business, right? Once you get your feet wet, you got to jump in. you got to go for it. Get fully involved, get fully committed, and good things happen, and people will support you along the way. Speaking of that, I mean, aside from... go ahead.
No, there will always be ups and downs. It's not always going to be all ups, and you definitely got to understand that. Because there's customers that we have that are really great, and there's some that are just... they know what they want, and they're a little picky, and you got to understand that every customer is going to be different. Every customer, you know, is not always going to be very nice. They might be a little stricter, and is knowing how to adapt and deal with different types of people.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, my last big question, because I think it's so important. I mean, people, I think, generally know how important businesses are to the community, right? No business, no community. The two are inextricably linked. Business is essential for our greater Knoxville community to thrive. So number one, people can visit the Instagram feed. Two, your website, moralisoutdoorliving.com. You know, aside from checking out the photos and considering you all for the next big outdoor project that somebody has in mind, what are other ways that the community can support you? And maybe it's liking and sharing the content that they find online, even if they're not in the market for a project. It may be just, you know, sharing quality work.
Yeah. Well, definitely this is liking and sharing. One thing I've noticed is maybe sometimes people will say like Instagram isn't for everybody, or it's only for the younger crowd, but sometimes it's the younger crowds that are showing their parents the stuff, you know, like, Hey, this is some guy that I saw on Instagram that does great work. You should check them out, to their parents, you know? And that's how it starts. It's just through the sharing and through the liking and through the interactions with my social media pages, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think it aligns with the old adage. You put great stuff out in the world and the world will deliver back to you.
And that's, and you never know where it will end up.
Right. Yeah. Share it and let it get out in the world, and people will find it and come back to you. Chris, thanks a ton for taking the time to come on the show. I know it's still a busy season. We're recording here in November. It's still plenty warm outside. I know you all are very busy. But thanks for coming on. I look forward to following up with you, tracking progress and seeing as you guys continue to grow in 2021.
Thank you, Brandon. I really appreciate you having me on here.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks everybody for listening to the Startup Knox podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to listen to more interviews with Knoxville entrepreneurs. Please also leave a review on your favorite listening platform. If you want to know more about today's episode, check out the show notes on our website at startupknox.com, where you can also download a free Knoxville Startup Ecosystem Guide. Join me for the next episode of the Startup Knox podcast. Thanks for listening.